podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Donny Review system, Diogo. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
This is the Armchair Cricket Podcast.
Hello all. Welcome to another episode of Armchair Cricket Podcast, a podcast focusing on test cricket by armchair critics of the game. I'm your host, Ajit. In today's episode, we have a much sought after returning guest, Ramchandra. Hello, Ramu. Welcome back to the podcast.
Yeah, hi, Ajit. Thanks. Thanks for inviting me here and thanks for your kind words.
Ah, come on. I know that, there are quite a few people, so... Yeah. We have quite a lot of listeners from our part of the world, and I think they know you. So it's something I know that, whenever you are on the podcast, there is a small uptick in the listeners from our part of the world as well. So that's always good for me to know.
Pleasure. Yeah.
That's one thing. So look, let's start off by first talking about KPL. I think you are the local resident expert. Let's just have a quick chat on KPL. And then we'll go through the international games. So tell me about KPL. How is it going? And what have you done to Mayank Agarwal?
KPL, it was what? Renamed what? Maharaja Trophy. It's called this.
Yes.
Last year, I think it returned wrong in 20. Yeah, Maharaja Cup. Yeah. In 2019, and then pandemic and successful years, there was no this tournament was not held. So it is good in a sense that it's back because it provides a platform for all the youngsters. There's so many, that talent pool is really huge. So that is where there's some clamor that Karnataka should have two teams just like how Gujarat and Maharashtra have. So but unfortunately, because of the Lodha thing, we can no more have two or three teams for one state. So that's done and
I see.
So now, see. Yeah, that is the thing. And now talking about the Maharaja Trophy, Ajit, there are a few usual suspects who always do well only in the Maharaja Trophy. And there are a lot of Indian players who are participating, like Manish is leading a side, K. Gautam is leading a side, Karnataka's captain Mayank Agarwal is leading Bengaluru side. And then Karun Nair is back, though he will be playing his trade for Vidarbha this domestic season. He is playing in the Maharaja Trophy. And Shreyas Gopal also, who went to Goa. I beg your pardon. He went to Kerala, I guess. Yeah, Kerala. He's also leading the side. So all these, big boys of Karnataka playing. Siddharth too. Siddharth too did well. I think it was like he had a point to prove. He got a century. Siddharth, who was like benched for the whole season, despite being the highest run getter last season. He was benched for the whole season. Now he's moved out of Karnataka and he had a point to prove. He proved it. And getting 160 balls was a great achievement that I felt, because he's someone who's dubbed a proper, test match player, a red ball player. Him getting a T20 100 was a great feeling. I just enjoyed that innings. Also, Shreyas has been really good with both bat and ball. And there are a few youngsters, Jit, who have come up. Today, I think Tipparedi played one of the best innings I saw. I think 47 balls, he got some 82 or something. Then there is a wicketkeeper called Lulit Sisodia, who he opened the innings. Lulit Sisodia. I think he was in RCB also last year. Then he was released because of injury. I think Rajat Pathida replaced him, I guess, if I'm not wrong. So... Now, that guy, he's a pocket-sized dynamite. He, he packs a punch. He's not that, heavily built or a muscle guy, but he packs a punch and he plays, proper T20 cricket. And I'd be really tempted to have him even in the longer formats because he's that kind of a player. He also got a century. So there are a lot of people who have done well, Ajit. Also, the usual suspects, I talk about Vidwat and Kaushik, they have done well. And still youngsters. I'm really excited about one youngster, that's Shubham Hegde, who's a like-for-like replacement for someone like Suchit. I think probably his updated version of Suchit as far as batting is concerned. Probably he's a much better batter, Shubham. I think he was in the India Under-19 team. I don't think he got a game to play in the Under-19 World Cup, but he was part of the side in 2020. So he's a talented guy. Mind you, he made his debut in 2018-19, Ranji Trophy debut. After that, he's hardly played a few games. So I think he's, what, 22 now? It's the right time for him to get a long run. Hopefully, after, you know, Shreyas' departure, probably that, you know, he'll be the main spinner for Karnataka. Also, his batting is going to be handy. So I'm really excited for this domestic season. I want to see how these guys perform.
Right. Look, that raises quite a few questions, first of all. I mean, I'm not really interested in which team wins the tournament in as much as what it means for Karnataka cricket.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So the first thing I will ask is it a good thing with players who are either approaching 30 or just on the other side of 30 leaving Karnataka team for other teams? Does this simply mean Karnataka team is very strong and they can do without these people?
Absolutely.
But also, what does it mean from... There's also a bit of loyalty sometimes that is owed.
True. That is true. Yeah. See, I mean, this has been the case with most of the strong teams. You can see Mumbai, Karnataka, Delhi. Cricketers from these teams, you know, I mean, once they are 30 and they are no more in the reckoning for the national team, it makes sense for them to move out of, you know, the powerhouses and play for a second string or the third string sides where a lot of youngsters are coming up. These guys' experience will always be handy for them. So this has always happened. If I'm not wrong, Roger Whitney, Kirmani, everyone moved out in the later part of the parts of their career and they played for Goa Railways like that. So it's been happening. There are only a few people who haven't moved out. Someone like Prasanna, Chandrasekhar, Vishwanath, they played only for Karnataka and they retired. But you can see that more than 50% of the people who played for India and have a celebrated career at the highest level, they come back and they move out. That's happened with the 90s generation also. Sujit Somsundar, J. Arun Kumar, everyone has probably in the early 2000s, I guess. Yeah, they moved out of Karnataka and played for played group teams. Now with the Northeastern teams, Ajit, there's plenty of opportunity now for you. Not only the veterans are moving out, even the youngsters who are struggling to make a mark or trying to get into the Karnataka side, it's really difficult. There are so many guys. Kranti Kumar, someone, you should have heard that name. You must have heard that name. Last year, he got a 287 team for Sikkim, if I'm not wrong. That guy played a Vijay Hazare Trophy game for Karnataka. Then he was lost. Again, he probably felt that he can't get into Karnataka side. So he moved out. There are so many people who have done that. Abrar Kazi did that. CM Gautam did that. So it's really difficult once you're not in the national reckoning and you're 30. There's no point in playing, for powerhouses. So, that's how it's going on. And that will be the case because there are a lot of youngsters coming up, Ajit. But I was surprised with Shreyas Gopal's exit because he's still 29. And he had not done wrong. And probably the fact that he was benched for the whole Mustaq Ali Trophy, that probably did not go down well with him because of that, he lost his IPL contract because he did not play either Mustaq Ali games for Karnataka. Bidders were not really interested in the auction. So probably his career was at stake. So in Red Bull cricket, there was no question that he was our number one spinner. But obviously, you want to play all the formats. So I heard through the grapevine that he's been promised that he'll be playing all the formats for Kerala. So he's moved out to Kerala with Sanju Samson. Probably he'll be, with Jalaj Saxena, probably it's going to be one of the, potent spin combinations, I guess, for Kerala.
No, but that is definitely good. So, I mean, it is normal that, players towards the end of their career, when they are deemed surplus, 32, 33 plus, they go out and probably use their experience to guide some new upcoming team, right? This is normal. If you also look at it, UK county scene or Australian county scene, this is all normal. But in India, that's the thing, right? Because of the proliferation of talent and potentially IPL contracts and other, lucrative T20 contracts internally.
Yeah, you would a lot of stakes, a lot of things at stake. Yeah, true.
Right. So, but the other question was about the international or potential international careers of these two people. We took the names of two people. One is the leg break bowler Shreyas, the other is Karun.
Karun Nair.
Right, sir.
Yes. Yeah.
So, do you see any chance of Shreyas Iyer, who's more, I must say, he's also pigeonholed
Shreyas
as a
Gopal.
Format player? Shreyas Gopal, sorry.
Yeah.
Shreyas Gopal, who's more pigeonholed as a long format player. Do you see him featuring in maybe long format games for India at all, or is, has his chance come and gone at this stage?
See, he'll be 30 this September. Next month, he'll be 30. He made his debut in 2013. If you look at his numbers, they're not bad, Ajit. They're really very good numbers. I think he's got over 200 first-class wickets at 28. His batting is also good. His batting average is in mid-30s. So the problem is, I felt what, because I followed his career pretty closely from his under 19 days. What I felt, Ajit, was he probably did not go that extra mile and he did not upgrade himself. Even now, after 10 years of experience, if you see his bowling, there are always like a couple of boundary balls every over. So you can't do that at this level. If you want to graduate to the next level, you got to be spot on. You can't do that. I remember, I think 2014-15, he was already in the India A setup. He played Dulip Trophy. He was part of India A set. He was making huge strides. But after that, he just lost it. And even he lost his place in the Karnataka side also. In between, he was made captain, standing captain rather. But he was there. He was there and thereabouts. And IPL happened. He did well in the IPL, getting AB de Villiers, Kohli and hat-trick. Everything was going well for him. But unfortunately, you know, you got to upgrade your skills. You got to take care of your chinks. But he never probably did that. That's my personal opinion. I feel that probably he had nothing. He did not add anything to his armory. What I saw him in 2013 and what I am seeing now in 2023, there's not really much of a change in his skills or whatever. So if you're not going to upgrade yourself, you're always going to struggle. In 2014-15, I probably felt that this guy can play for India, but he never really graduated. He never really excelled after that. So it was like there and there about. The same thing with Samarth, Ajit. He probably had the potential, but yeah, going that extra mile, you know, someone like Surya Kumar Yadav, he too was someone like that. But the way he added his new skills and the way he became, the kind of player he became, you need to have that hunger. And not really, you know, demeaning these guys, but the thing is that you need to go the extra mile to play for India. But now you're 30 and there are so many spinners coming up, young spinners, someone like Bishnoi. Chahal probably is not going to play test match cricket for India. He's also 30. But I don't see him playing for India. If he can get an IPL contract and if he can have a 4 or 5 years of good first-class season going forward, that will be a great thing for him.
Okay. And Karun Nair then? That's it? Because I thought he might reinvent himself.
Sorry to say. But I was one of the fans of one of the finest fans of Karun Nair. I remember watching him in 2013 when he made his debut. I was like surprised why is Vinay backing this guy. After three failures, he was still backed by Vinay, and he got 300s back to back the season which Karnataka won the Ranji Trophy after 14 years. So from then he got a triple century. Then the next season in the finals again, Karnataka won the Ranji Trophy. So he had that. And one thing, Ajit, the one thing which people tend to ignore is he was someone who actually played IPL in 2014, and he did not take much time to get used to it. He was a good IPL player also, whereas someone like Mayank and Rahul were struggling initially in 2013-14. But this guy was someone who actually scored runs even in the IPL. That time I felt that this guy is an all-round, all-format batsman, and he can play for India. Of course, he did play for India in I think, ODI and Test cricket he played. He probably
test
could have had
mainly,
a...
Right?
Yeah, Test cricket mainly. Yeah. He had all the shots. It's not that he's a one-dimensional player. He too can play his shots, and probably he's one of the prettiest batsmen in the recent past, what I've seen. Unfortunately, he wasted too much time. After he was dropped in 2018, he came back and led Karnataka, and two, three seasons, nothing happened. Hardly runs, came from his bat. So obviously, the selectors had a lot of questions to answer. He was rightfully dropped, and then one season went in vain. Last season, he was dropped, and he did not have the NOC to go and play for the other team the last minute. So the whole season went. He was sitting at home idle. So obviously, he felt that, with Nikhin just scoring those many runs in the very next season, he probably felt that there's no space for me in the middle order. So he's made the right choice. Probably he'll be replacing Ganesh Satish, ex-Karnataka batsman who played for Vidarbha for 8 years. He's going to be replacing Ganesh Satish. And hopefully, he doesn't come back and hurt us like Ganesh Satish did. That's what I'm hoping. I just wish him good luck.
I remember.
Let him have a good career with Vidarbha. I don't see him playing for India from here. He's 32 now. So hopefully he can have a 4 or 5 years of good domestic season with IPL. I'd be happy for him if he plays in the IPL also.
Perfect. All right. So that was a fairly comprehensive wrap up around KPL. But before we go away, which of these two toppers, I see only these two really coming into the final, right? So between these two, which do you see as potential?
I think Hubli Tiger. I think Manish's side is good. Yeah, Manish's side is good.
You don't like Mysore's team then?
Yeah, I do like Mysore's team. But the thing is, I think Manish as a captain is a different guy altogether. He knows how to win this tournament. So I'm backing Hubli to win this. I'll be not really backing any team or anything or such. But I think that Hubli have it in them to win it with Manish there. They've got a good batting lineup also. So it's like the irony is that the Karnataka's captain Mayank Agarwal, who's leading Bangalore Blasters, they lost 8 on the trot. This is some kind of record. They're just one game away from equaling KKR's 9 losses on the trot. Hopefully that doesn't happen for Mayank. It'll be a blemish, I believe.
That's a bad record to carry. I understand.
That leading. He's leading the state side. So his side losing the way they are, it's going to be really embarrassing for him.
Well, let's see. I mean, he also, I think, was the captain of the South Zone, right? In the Duleep, the other trophy.
Yes, Duleep trophy. Which one?
Let's see. I mean, look, sometimes it's not always a captain's fault if the team continues to fail, but maybe there is something he can also change. It's a tough one.
Yeah, and he also hasn't scored runs, so that hasn't helped either. Probably he could have won a couple of games on his own. Unfortunately, runs didn't come from his side.
Now, that's what I had in mind. So I thought, sometimes these things come and go, but sometimes at least if you are able to contribute with the bat, you say, okay, I've done my best. Still, this is all I'm able to get through.
Yeah, right? I won the game.
So, now, let's move to the international scene. Yeah. So first of all, I think we can have a quick chat about the Ireland-India series, which finished. And we can actually discuss the whole series rather than going into individual results. So first of all, I guess you're happy the way our bowlers came back. The two bowlers, Krishna and...
True. I was really excited to see Bumrah. Of course, Prasidh also, he was back after a year. It was nice to see. Probably I felt that he's lost a bit of pace, Prasidh. But he was bowling well. He usually bowls in mid-140s. Early 140s, but I saw him bowling in late 130s consistently. Hopefully, that's an aberration he picks up going forward. And Bumrah, as usual, I mean, what can you say about Bumrah? A perfectionist, he hardly gives you bad balls, and rightfully, he was the man of the series, captain Bumrah. He did all the things right, and I was really happy for Rinku Singh, Ajit. You just love to see these kind of people play for India and do well with so much hard work and coming from UP, the kind of struggles he's had to go through, someone like Jaiswal and these guys. Really feel happy when these guys do well.
I think Jaiswal is being seen as a potential, captaincy material even longer term going forward. So it was nice to see he came out scoring some runs, right? Yeah. That was important for me. Yes. And it's also good to see, right? So as you said, Yashasvi Jaiswal sort of at least getting one go. I was really hoping to see somebody like Jitesh Sharma getting a go, Rinku Singh maybe another chance to bat.
Rinku Singh.
Shahbaz Ahmed, yes. Tilak Verma. See, okay.
Shahbaz, Tilak Verma.
Avesh Khan, I was thinking he might get a game, third game, right? So.
Yeah, probably he would have got a third game. They would have rested Prasidh and they would have given the game to Avesh Khan.
Correct. So, in this case, the real question for me is this the India going forward, at least in T20s? Are they ready to completely ditch somebody like Kohli and Rohit and even to maybe KL Rahul?
Rahul. Yeah, it's true. Look, if I was given a chance and if I was the selector, Ajit, I would have done this a couple of years ago because these guys are not getting any younger and you need to play a different brand of cricket to win the T20s. Look how England treat their... treated that premier batsman. Joe Root is nowhere in the reckoning for the T20 side. Same with the Australians. Stephen Smith doesn't fit the bill, so he's rightly been dropped. You are a great batsman in ODI and Test match cricket. You be there. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to play T20s just because you're a great batsman. So that's the way going forward. England and Australia have done that. Pakistan, to a certain extent, are struggling that. Of course, there's no way they can drop Babar Azam and the opener. But still, I feel that they've played enough cricket, Rohit Sharma, Virat Kohli, and to a certain extent, KL Rahul also. I don't see him making amends. If he plays the way he's been playing, and a strike rate of 115-20 opening in a T20 game, and also, wasting the power play. I don't see any point in having KL Rahul. Yeah, potential is there. What's your potential yielding? Nothing. So if when you have someone like SSV Jaiswal and Shubman Gill also, he's shown a lot of promise in T20 cricket. Just have them. Also, Ruturaj Gaikwad is waiting in the wings. With these many fine talents there, if you're still going with the same old players, I don't see any earth-shattering thing happening. Because you remember 2007, Rahul Dravid, Sachin Tendulkar and Saurav Ganguly did not play. A new set of players came. They played fearless cricket and won it. I'm not saying that you're going to win it if you ditch the senior players. But that's the way going forward. You got to understand that T20 cricket is a different animal altogether. And your reputation as a great test batsman, or ODI batsman, how many games you have won with the man, will make no difference here. Someone like Shivan Dubey can come low down the order and can hit you, 25-30 runs in over. Probably Virat Kohli or Rohit Sharma might never be able to do that. So you got to understand it's horses for courses. So you go the way, the whole other teams are doing. Just because, if you want to respect someone for reputation, you want to have them in the team, obviously more often than not, you're going to struggle to win big tournaments. They can win you games on their own. Couple of games, they can win you on their own. But in the longer run, to win tournaments, you need a proper balanced team.
Indeed. I mean, Rohit can score very fast. But Kohli, because his game is still focused around defensive technique and not giving your wicket away. Because he loves the longer format much more. So, he can probably go at 120. Yeah. But then you would say, put in a Chilak Verma there, put in a Yashasvi Jaiswal who can go at 170 and not care. Right.
Yeah.
So that's a good point. And KL Rahul, I think he's at a bit of crossroads at this point in time because he's lost some time to injury.
His career. Yeah. He's been an enigma, Ajit. Yeah. I just don't know. Like, I've never seen a kind of player, who had so much potential at 19 and after 10 years, what is his achievement? I don't see anything substantial because I thought when I saw him play for Karnataka and when he re-entered in himself in 2013-14 and got 1,000 runs in the season, I felt this guy is going to get 8 to 10,000 test match runs for India. I was sure about that. And this white ball batting was not there. He was like, you might not believe, he used to be dropped for the Vijay Hazare Trophy games. Mayank Agarwal used to open with Robin Uthappa, So people did not consider him a white ball player. Then he reinvented himself in 2015-16, played a couple of blinders in the IPL in 2016. Then his stocks went up. And when he, was picked by Punjab, and he's been a fine batsman. But unfortunately, he's a bit confused now. He doesn't know what his natural game is. He plays T20 differently. ODI cricket is the only format probably where he's had some kind of success and consistency is there because he plays as number five. He's not playing a new ball. So that is helping his cause. Probably he'll also be first choice wicket keeper for India in the World Cup. But when you consider his overall career, I'm really disappointed with KL Rahul. Probably one off season and we can see the end of KL Rahul in at least in T20s and test match cricket.
No, I really hope he can dedicate himself to the longer formats, the longer of the three formats, the tests. But also, I'm thinking, he might make a long-term, like Rahul, for namesake replacement for the other great Rahul, right, Dravid? Who's like...
That's what we felt.
Makeshift keeper. India would like the balance he'll give you then. But then you always say, once Pant comes back, because he's also a left-hander.
Yeah.
Pant, right?
Yeah.
So, Pant has never made the ODI his own. T20s, he's good tests. You can't debate much about that. So, at least for me, maybe his position in both the shorter format teams might become very untenable. So, for him, the next couple of months are very important. So, I'll say start off from Asia Cup all the way till the end of IPL next year.
This 1 year will be very crucial.
Because he'll get ODI World Cup in between, some home games, 10 tests in between, maybe some T20 games in IPL. So this whole 6-8 month period, I say, if Rahul has to really prove himself. See, Rahul and Pandya had some issues and they lost some time to indiscipline. Then they got injured, they lost some time. But look at Pandya.
Yeah.
He's clearly made up his mind. He will not play tests, or at least I don't think he'll play tests anymore. So, but he's positioned himself so nicely as the potential captain for the ODI and the T20 teams. Right?
T20.
So that is what I would also like to see in terms of, why is this guy not doing the same thing? So you can actually call off one of those. You play IPL and you be a domestic great, not a problem. But maybe internationally, you say you're no longer really concentrating on T20s. You want to play and win an ODI World Cup and play and win the World Test Championship next time. Because he has the temperament to play the longer format. He's a classic batsman, right? For me.
Absolutely. Yeah. So,
yeah. And
no doubt about that.
I still feel Kohli and Rohit, right? They'll be given a rope as long as they want. Maybe there may be some changes before the 2024 World Cup, but Rohit, I think, still wants to win it as a captain or maybe even as a player. So let's see how that goes, because I see Pandya sort of more or less ensconced as the captain of the T20 team. Let's see. A lot of interesting debates to come up once the World Cup is over, I think. Quite a lot of things we can discuss.
Yeah,
I even see maybe one or two people walking away from one or two formats, but we've gone into it in previous episodes. I'm going to leave those things be and see if these things will really pan out. So, all in all, I guess we can be fairly happy that the future of Indian limited overs cricket, shortest form cricket, looks decent now. Right? So, if you add Pandya to this team as the captain, right? So, he slots in and even you don't need guys like Umesh Yadav or Shami even, because this attack looks fairly good. But come the tour of maybe even, you know, England, Australia, some other teams, South Africa, they may struggle the fast bowling attack. Or do you think they'll still hold up people like Mukesh Kumar, Avesh Khan, Prasid Krishna, Bumrah? Bumrah and, to an extent, Prasid Krishna, they're...
Siraj,
for sure. Yeah, addition of Siraj will give a big boost. That's a good point.
Yeah, true.
You think they'll be able to hold the... they'll be able to hold up that end of the bargain? They'll be able to do well enough that...
Sure. Potential is there, Rajat. I feel that I was really excited, you know, so Prasid and Bumrah bowl. I felt that they should be bowling together in test matches. So I said that come to South Africa in year end. I think India is going there for a Boxing Day test match. So if imagine Prasid and Bumrah bowling, then you have Shami and Siraj to follow up. That would be a dream kind of a quartet. Isn't it? Who would have thought that India would have this kind of a bowling attack? And you have a lot of potential seamers who are done well. I think Mukesh Kumar is doing well. Then you have also Avesh Khan. Umran Malik can also be tested. So you got a lot of fast bowlers who are waiting in the wings. So this is not going to be the case where in the 90s where we struggled to put two proper fast bowlers on the path. That is never going to happen in days to come. There's a lot of potential, but as I said, Bumrah is Bumrah, and hopefully he can pass on the baton, you know, throughout his career. He can help the youngsters, and hopefully we'll never have the death of fast bowlers, because the potential is there. Even Kuldeep Sen probably was part of the Indian side. He's there. If anyone does well in the IPL, there are a lot of youngsters coming up in the domestic circuit, Ajit. I'm really excited. This domestic season, Shetan Sakari also someone, left arm, he's going to provide you that variety. He's also pretty young, even now, 24, 25. He can be tested. A lot of fast bowlers. I can say at least 8 or 10 fast bowlers who are good enough to play for India.
It seems very promising. I agree. Because we are going so deep into the Indian 11. I mean, I think we should also discuss the Asia Cup squad right here. Your initial thoughts, any surprises for you at all in the Asia Cup squad for India?
I was expecting Tilak Varma, to be very honest, Ajit. I felt that they are taking a punt with Tilak Varma. Same with Surya Kumar Yadav, because that guy, when he plays...
Tilak is there,
Probably Rahul Dravid. Yeah, Tilak is there. Tilak and Sky both are there, Surya Kumar Yadav. So really disappointed for someone like Sanju Samson. He's that guy who's always the one who to be sacrificed. Is always the one who will be let out, and they are doing some experiments. This guy is the one who has been the casualty most of the time. It's really unfortunate on Sanju Samson, but he's there and there about it. It's not that they completely disowned him. He is there. He will probably find his. So if someone gets in this, probably he'll be an automatic choice going forward. But I can understand Tilak Varma. I can understand because he's shown a lot of promise. You don't feel that he's a 19, 20 year old kid. He bats like a veteran. His game awareness, his kind of shots he has in his repertoire is unbelievable. For 20-year-old, that's simply unbelievable. So probably Rohit Sharma rates him pretty highly. So he's been given a go. And then Surya Kumar Yadav, as everyone knows, I think Rahul Dravid rates him pretty highly. So that's why he has been given an extended run. Unfortunately, Sanju Samson had to miss out. I'm really happy with the squad. But the one thing is that Yajvendra Chahal probably got a raw deal because he's a pretty good ODI bowler. Probably he should have been there. I don't know, like Akshar Patel and Jadeja together. I simply don't know. You can't have two left-arm spinners. No matter how good a batsman one of them is, I don't think you will go with two left-arm spinners in an 11. I don't think that's happening. So it doesn't really make sense to have both of them in the squad. You could have gone with a bit of variety, leg spinner. There's no other leg spinner in the squad. Of course, Kuldeep Yadav is a Chinaman bowler. He's a left-arm bowler. I would have still had Yajvendra Chahal. He's a special bowler, Rajit. He can win you games with the ball. Forget about his batting. I think he's a number 11, a dedicated number 11. It's one of those things, you know, these days the bowlers are being picked on their batting skills to a certain extent. That's really unfortunate, but these are one of the modern day cricket demands. You can't help it. So I saw a lot of people saying this. Why someone like Akshar Patel has, you know, was chosen ahead of someone like Shahbaz Ahmed, who plays for Jharkhand, who's got a much better first-class record than Akshar Patel was, simply because Akshar Patel is a better batsman. So when you are like to like, you have the same skill, but you are a better batter, the selectors obviously are going to pick the better batter. So he hasn't disappointed anyone. Akshar Patel has had a dream run on his comeback, and is from his debut in Test match cricket, he's hardly put a foot wrong. So they've indicated at this point in time. But Chahal's, I'm not really happy with Chahal's exclusion. I want him in the World Cup squad.
Look, at least Rohit Sharma seems to give the reasoning that he can't include him because of the number of players he can take along. He also mentioned there are no off-break bowlers. He accepted when they were also considering Ashwin or Washington Sundar.
Ashwin.
Right? You couldn't take both of them. You're absolutely right that Akshar Patel can score fast. Well, Ashwin can also bat and bat fast, but probably Akshar Patel and Ravindra Jadeja, you may say... Yeah, of course, right? Yeah. They're in T20, that even in ODIs, that makes a big difference. But also...
Big difference.
Even the age gap and the place in their careers they are, probably Ashwin, it's okay that he's not picked, I can understand, but Washington Sundar also has not gotten enough chances and has not done enough. He has not had you need one or two really eye-catching performances, right? So you may say, did you need so many fast bowlers? Shardul, Jasprit, Shami, Siraj and Krishna.
Rashid.
Yep. So did you really need all of them?
No. But they're just doing... they want to test each and every fast bowler before the World Cup. You're playing in the subcontinent. I'm not sure why you need those many fast bowlers, especially when Bumrah and Shami are fit. And also Siraj, who's the number one bowler in the ODI format from the past year. So probably the same thing goes to Prasid. They rate him pretty highly. So that's why he's right away into the team. It's not that he's played 50, 60 games. He was the mainstay of the bowling attack. It is just that promise Prasid Krishna has shown. That is where they're backing him. He's right away back in the T20 squad. He made his debut, in fact. So they're backing him. Oh, yeah, he had a decent run. He should have played Test cricket by now. He's 27. He's already old now. So, they're rating pretty highly. So he's rightfully back. And one more thing is that Shardul Thakur is there. He's not necessarily the best bowler, fast bowler. He's definitely being chosen ahead of someone, you know, some other fast bowlers only because of batting prowess. So when you have someone like a tail, if you have a tail like Shami, Bumrah and Prasid, you're asking for trouble. And your fourth bowler is Kuldeep. You literally don't have anyone who can hang in there. So it is just a matter of one good spell for someone, Cummins or someone in a knockout game. It could be all over. So that is one thing where probably they're really wary about, and Rahul Dravid wants someone who can bat. So that is why I'm sure that Shardul Thakur will be part of the 11 right from the first game in the World Cup.
Let's see. I think Shardul might still play. Pandya may come into the picture, even if he delivers only 4 or 5 overs, right? I think Pandya has been rested. So I expect some small changes in the World Cup squad and maybe one more spinner in the squad, really. But okay, let's see how these things go.
Hopefully, that's Chahal. That one more spinner. Hopefully, it's Chahal.
Yes. I do hope, you know, it's Chahal as well. I like him. I'm a leg break bowler myself. I'm partial to leg break bowlers. But I think they don't think he's going to keep the runs down in the ODI format. Maybe that...
What is his USP? He entices the batsman. He gives the ball a lot of air. he tries to get wickets. He purchases you wickets. He's not someone who's going to bowl wicket to wicket and keep the run rate at 4 or 5 and over. He's going to take his chances. That's how, and he's pretty adventurous, Ajit. And even in the IPL, you know, I mean, he goes for runs, but he picks you wickets and top order wickets. It's not like tail end of wickets. He picks you proper batsman wickets. So that's why, I mean, it's an offensive weapon you can have in your repertoire. So I think India will be missing a trick if they're benching.
Let's see. Let's see if they are able to still make room for him in the squad and eventually in the 11, right? I mean, if you continue to not pick him, you might as well leave him out of the squad. I mean, I think he has had one or two tournaments where he was in the squad but didn't get a game. So there I still say, yeah, it's okay. Don't be in the squad. Yeah. It's okay. True. And the only other name I thought, you know, worth mentioning. So Shreyas Iyer has been picked along with Tilak Verma. I guess one of these two may make the final squad when it comes to World Cup. And then we may see a reserve, see, for Ishan Kishan, like Sanju Samson may make into the squad. This is what I'm thinking, right? Okay, Shreyas Iyer was in the team when he lost his place due to injury, so they have to give him a chance to come back. The top order is sealed solid. Top 1, 2, 3, more or less even 4 is sealed solid. Then you have at least many people opined who will bat at 4, right? But then that's a longer discussion. I don't want to get into it right now. But if you look at the top 4 being sealed, then Shreyas Iyer is a better number 5. Then maybe Tilak Verma, but then Tilak Verma is a left-hander, right? And then Sky may come at 5, then it might be a 6, number 6. Beyond that, you'll have Jadeja, you'll have likes of Shardul or Pandya.
Shardul,
exactly. So that's the only spot. So I think these two might be competing for one spot there. So let's see how all of this falls in place. So some interesting things, but I still think this is not the full squad, but very close to a full squad that India may send to the World Cup.
Yeah, right. You probably might see one or two changes to the World Cup squad. I don't see two or more changes for this squad, Ajit. I'm sure.
Makes sense. What you say also makes sense. So now, if you were to return to the other international games, let's have a quick chat about the T20s between UAE and New Zealand. Surprised that UAE actually won a game against New Zealand?
Yeah, seriously. I was really happy that day. My cousin actually messaged me. I was not at home. He just asked me to watch New Zealand and the UAE game. I checked on Cricbuzz and I was really happy. You know, they were like, obviously they're going to win. They were pretty close to winning that. So it's given that it's not a full strength New Zealand side, but still it's a New Zealand side led by Tim Southee. There are 4 or 5 players who make it to the regular playing 11 of the New Zealand side. So it's a decent enough side to win against them. Associate Nation winning against them was a great feeling. And I was really happy for them. Probably they could have, they fought well in the first game also. It was not that close. I think they did not give up easily. So it was kind of, the tussle was there. So it is nice to see, Ajit. I always would love to see these kind of associate, you know, nations traveling or even hosting games against top quality sides. Ireland, of course, India sent in the second or third string side. These Netherlands, Ireland, UAE must be playing regularly, at least a T20 format, so that, you know, they're in touch with the other international sides. If you keep them, you know, in the different silos where only Netherlands, Ireland and other teams play, they're not going to get better by playing against themselves. So they need to play with the big boys. And this is a great development, I see. Probably Australia should go. Even India. West Indies is now a different thing now. So all the top qualities, if they play against the associate nations, they are going to get better, Ajit. And I was really happy for UAE. They deserve that win. Yeah, hopefully there are a lot of, you know, many more wins to come in the future.
Absolutely. So their skipper, Mohammad Wasim, led from the front in that chase. It could be a tricky chase, but they made it easy with his 50, right? And they also have some future stars, frankly. Vrithi Arvind, Aryan Sharma, Ayan Afzal Khan. These are all like very young cricketers, 20s, 21s. So you can also expect they will serve UAE for many a year to come, right? So then
all in their early 20s, mid-20s.
Correct. Yeah. So you would expect, right, they would be serving them. But then, in the end, the third T20I, you expected New Zealand will bounce back. And New Zealand also have many people missing. So, I mean, Kane Williamson may or may not make the squad every time, but they had quite a few experimental players, right? Like Dean Foxcroft. Yeah. And in the first two games, there was a correct. There have been Rachin Ravindra is there. So, they had also in the first Tim Seifert is
Hershey President, yeah, correct.
Correct. He Ben Cleaver was the keeper.
Yeah.
So
they
are also giving sort of their bench players, their fringe players a chance. And they were still good enough in the decider. They took the game, you know, with Mark Chapman. He's been there or thereabouts, right? So this guy is, he was formerly playing for Hong Kong and is committed to a career with New Zealand now.
Yeah.
He's doing really well. So you can't see him quite leapfrog somebody like Mitchell Santner for a one-day squad, but he may still make it just as a, you know, spinner who can bat very well in the middle order sort of role.
Yeah.
That's why I think they're also giving Rachin Ravindra some chances, because before of before the World Cup squad, they pick Rachin Ravindra is also a spinner who can bat in the middle order, right? So all of these people, Aditya Ashok, again, another name.
Aditya Ashok, yeah.
Right?
Correct.
He's a LBG, leg break googly.
Leg break googly. I think he had a decent game on his
turn. He had a very good day.
He picked the wicket and did not go for... Yeah, I saw that, I think he gave 20 odd runs and picked the wicket. So it was a nice outing, for 20-year-old. It was nice,
So some exciting names also for New Zealand for the next few years to come. And you're right, even if they send a slightly experimental squad, bigger team should tour the likes of New Zealand, Netherlands, UAE, right? What you said, Oman, give them the chance to grow alongside at least, you know, limited overs, the formats that they play. Now, coming to the other ODI series that's underway. So, first of all, quite an exciting game between Afghanistan and Pakistan. The first one where Afghanistan, I thought, did really well to keep Pakistan down to 201 in that game, where the pitch was a bit up and down, but like Afghanistan controlled the bowling from the first over onwards, right? Mujibur Rahman, they had dismissed Babar Azam for a duck. Sort of Imamul Haq built an innings to 150, but then once he got out, you're still saying, God knows what this will be. And when they came out to bat, all you needed was somebody like Rahmanullah Gurbaz to keep going big, right? Like one big innings of an 80 and the match is gone.
Yeah.
It never happened. What a bowling effort from the top three fast bowlers, right? From Pakistan?
Oh. Top quality fast bowlers, all the three. Harris Rauf, Nazim Shah, and Shahin Afridi. So that's like a mouth-watering prospect. Like India and Pakistan probably have, they're on par now these days as far as the bowling lineup is. Probably India have a few notches ahead, but it's really, you know, proud feeling seeing India and fast bowling, you know, getting updated to this section. So like 200, defending 200 was always going to be difficult, and difficult in the sense that you need to pick up wickets to, there's no way you can, you know, bowl 50 overs and not allow the opposition to score 200. Obviously, the way they started, it was clear that, you know, these guys are going to bowl them out. And it was very, and they bowled out, what, 50 odd, right? They bowled out for 50 odd. So that was like, it's not even a competition. And come the second game, there was 100 on opening partnership. So this kind of a, you know, an aberration. I know, was that an aberration? Yeah, it's true, because you don't, Afghanistan are still a decent batting lineup.
Right.
You don't expect them to be bowled out for 50 odd. So probably they had a chance. They had a very good chance of winning that. Probably they let it go. Yeah. Full marks to Harris Rauf the way he bowled. Also Shahin Afridi for his initial burst. It's going to be nice, Ajit. Like, I'm really, you know, excited to watch India and Pakistan now. Looking at the teams, you know, full strength. Two full-strength Indians, India and Pakistan side, both of them locking horns against each other. It's going to be great spectacle.
First, it'll be Asia Cup, then the World Cup show, hopefully. So,
quite
a lot. But coming back to this one, see, I thought the real menace in that first ODI was actually Nazim Shah. So, even though he only bowled 5 overs and took one wicket, he had completely softened the Afghanistani batting, in as much that I saw parts of it live. There were three ducks, Now, batsman number 2, 3, 4 were ducks.
Yeah.
And Nazim Shah got only one of those, but he really scared the batsman. I mean, some of those balls really looked like you couldn't play them at all. They were highly swinging balls, bowled at 145 kph or there or thereabouts. So, I thought that he was the guy that made the difference. But between the three of them, I mean, there's enough firepower to blast anybody out, right? I mean, there's no shame for Afghanistan to be out like this, but Afghanistan is very famous, apparently, for this sort of a yo-yo sort of a performance. 59 all out one game, 300 the next. So I was seeing a tweet by Kaustubh Gudipati on X or Twitter, where he said he put out their opening partnerships over the last 5 or 6 games. It's completely single digit or 200 plus. Single digits or 200 plus. So
they take everything or they don't do it.
Exactly.
Yeah, feast of a man kind of a thing. Yeah.
I think it's about the maturity. They're growing into their own self there. And the second game is currently underway where they've made 300, but Pakistan have reached 150 for one after 27 overs. So this is going to be a very, very
strongly in their kitty.
I mean, because Babar Azam is unbeaten on 42 and Imam ul Haq has made another 63 and he's unbeaten. So you can expect maybe that, you know, they have the upper hand because they have some hard-hitting finishers to follow as well. I'm looking forward to what Aga Salman can do in the ODIs along with Shadab Khan. That's a very, very fantastic middle order with, you know, Iftikhar Ahmed, a bit unconventional, but he can hit those big shots, especially in subcontinental conditions where there will not be high pace and extreme swing. These three will be very, very exciting if you're a Pakistani supporter, that these three can really do miracles for Pakistan. Even if the top order fails at times, right, they can probably take you to close to 300 just by these three. So I'm really looking forward to what you said, how Pakistan will play against the other bigger teams in Asia first and then see how they'll do in you know, the World Cup itself. But to finish off, do you think Afghanistan can make a comeback and cause an upset in the series, or do you think we'll put it across them?
They can. I think still Rashid Khan has bowled only 4 overs. There's still Mujib, who's what, 4 or 5 overs up his sleeve. But yeah, they need not one, but a couple of wickets pretty quickly. Then they can, you know, allow the, you know, the bowlers to settle and they can tighten up the game and they can take to the last 10 overs. If you have like 5 wickets down in the last 10 overs, if Pakistan needs 65-70, they can make a match out of it, provided Rashid Khan bowls at his absolute best. If that doesn't happen, if Babar Azam holds an end, then it's done and dusted. Babar Azam is going to finish you off. I think he's going to probably get his 19th century today.
Correct. I'm also a big fan of Babar Azam, the batsman. So I'm hoping, you know, he goes big again.
Yeah. He's a very pretty batsman to watch. He's a fine batsman.
All right. Yeah. Now, those are all the live games that we wanted to discuss. So, if we go to the out-of-the-field news. So, first one is Sune Luse has stepped down as the South Africa Limited Overs International captain. And she's been, at least in the interim, been replaced by Laura Volvart.
Yeah.
So, thoughts?
Yeah, there's, like, what are the reasons? She's not happy with the current people at the helm of affairs. So that's the reason. It's not cricketing reason. So it's really disappointing, Ajit. Like, if you have a genuine cricket reason, it makes sense. But for someone who's led what? She's led for more than 25-30 games now for South Africa. So someone like her going out on a sorrow note, it's really disappointing. I don't know. It's probably going to hurt the team's morale to a certain extent. You know, the captain stepping down for reasons which are not necessarily related to, you know, the game on the field. So that just shows that there's something seriously wrong with South Africa cricket. They've been doing a lot of things right off late, and also they're getting a lot of things wrong. When you talk about that, you know, they have equal pay for both men and women. That's a great welcome sign. So they're doing a few things right. And at the same time, they're in a kind of mess, you know. Now, they're not going to play test match cricket. They're supposed to play the men's team, I'm talking about. So then they're not going to play. They're probably going to send the second string side to New Zealand. So, I mean, there are a lot of things which are happening in South Africa.
It clashes with the T20.
Exactly. Tournament. Exactly. Okay. Yeah. So probably they're caught in the quandary. They don't know which way to go. They probably don't have a roadmap, like how you should go ahead. So these are the things that Faf du Plessis, the same thing happened. He said he was available, then he went back. I think even in the men's team, we're seeing the same thing happen. People are not happy with the establishment. Quinton de Kock did the same on a few occasions. So there's something seriously wrong, Ajit. They need to rectify that. Once they do that, the potential is there. Even in the women's team, there are a lot of people, a lot of young, talented players who are there. Unfortunately, they're not able to tap it. So that is why South Africa are, you know, probably going downhill. Yeah, they are initial. There are a few brilliant players. There are a few performances that they've done well. But when you look at the overall picture, it's really disappointing, you know, the way South African team we grew up watching in the 90s and the 2000s was one heck of a side. So now to see a lot of things, you know, these kind of things happening in South African cricket, it's really disappointing.
It's easy for us to actually comment like that. But
yeah,
also from administration perspective, I think then maybe more than what we see from outside, right? So, I understood not every player was happy with the backroom staff, especially the coach, Moring. But then they decided maybe something else may have happened in the meantime. So for me, it was a bit of a shock to see Sunil Lose step down, because she's a very important player now. Certain players not being available, either retiring and so on. So she's a very important player in this team, right? So it remains to be seen how they go forward. It's also a little bit of a transitory phase for South African cricket, especially the women's cricket team, because you must say that the women's cricket team is slightly more successful when it comes to international multi-format tournaments than the men's team.
True. So, especially in the ICC events.
So they have a lot of very talented people, and there are these transformation quotas and other things to be met, but also in the management and backroom staff, maybe some things are set up the way, because they need to be that way for the overall picture, the bigger picture, to look more harmonious. So for me, because I don't know enough about these sort of developments from inside out, I find it a bit tough to comment, but I would still like to see South Africa put their most strong 11 out and, churn out those performances, maybe win a world tournament shortly. So first of all, we wish Laura Wolvaart, a happy time that she's picking this as an interim captain role, but we hope she's confirmed as a full-time captain shortly and then she does well as a captain, right? So, but you also highlighted one other important thing that
hopefully
they have achieved parity, at least, or they have decided there'll be parity when it comes to the equal match fees between men and women cricketers. This is a big deal, because most other teams don't really do it still. Maybe Australia does, maybe we know England does it. And I think even teams like India, I don't think there's parity. So it remains to be seen that if they can, because it's also, they say it should be a percentage of the earnings and so on. That's not always right. Let's see how that goes.
Yes.
Right. So this is a big news, and we hope, they grow from strength to strength from that point on. Switching over, if you were to look at Bangladesh, they have released their 17-member Asia Cup squad. No Ibadat Hussain. I think he's ruled out due to an injury. But they have two uncapped fast bowlers, Tanzeem Hassan and another guy called Tanzeed Hassan, right? Yeah. Tanzeem and Tanzeed Hassan. So I was a bit surprised to see their surnames were the same, but I thought maybe they're brothers or something. They're not. That's why. So the question is, any thoughts? Do you know how these guys bowl? I understood they're under 18 stars.
Don't know what to make of it, but I think Ibadat will be a huge miss, I believe, because he hasn't had a great test match career so far. But one format where he had actually really consistently done well was ODI cricket. So they're probably definitely going to miss him for that. That's for sure. And with youngsters, it's kind of a lottery, Ajit. If they come good, it's going to be a great thing. This is probably a dress rehearsal for them before the World Cup. If one of those does well, then probably, they'll be in part of the World Cup squad also. So there are a lot of things happening in Bangladesh cricket also. So hopefully they can find one fast bowler who can join hands with Ibadat Hussain, because he's probably going to be their go-to bowler in the World Cup. Hopefully he's fit by then. Then they probably have to, try a lot of youngsters before that. And the time is very less. I think you just have about two and a half months now to go to the World Cup. So very less time to make these kind of experiments. And hopefully, for the sake of Bangladesh cricket, I hope that one of them at least comes good.
All right. But also, it might be one of the chances for last hurrah for a bunch of these players, including Mushfiqur Rahim.
Yes.
Shakib Al Hasan, who's now back as captain, right?
Shakib Al Hasan and Tamim Iqbal.
Tamim Iqbal is not in the squad.
Yeah.
He's injured out, and that's why he had to give up his captaincy. But interesting captaincy. Squad. Yeah. There are some new names.
Yeah.
So like people like Shamim Hussain is also under 19 player, looks like.
Yes,
it was very, it was very well known.
Bangladesh has historically been known to, they just throw the youngsters in the national team and they come good. It's been happening from the 2000s. You've seen a lot of 17, 18-year-olds
moving
right from Mohammad Ashraful.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I remember, they are just doing that.
I remember a Mushfiqur Rahim, 16-year-old Mushfiqur Rahim, keeping in England. That's quite something.
Yeah, 16.
Right?
And what, 18-year-old Tamim Iqbal knocking us out of the World Cup in 2007.
Correct.
It was Mushfiqur Rahim and Tamim Iqbal. I just cannot forget that 6-6 hit of Zahir Khan. Tamim Iqbal, he stepped out of his crease after he was playing a spinner and hit him out of the park. So,
perfect.
They have a lot of raw talent is there, Rajit, right from the beginning. You look at the spinner, you just push a, you know, someone is saying that, you know, you just shake the tree and a lot of 8 to 10 left-arm spinners, you know, will fall down. So that is the kind of talent they have. A lot of left-arm spinners coming up. So, yeah, India almost like pretty much dodged the bullet there. And they had given a real scare in the second test match last year. Mm. There's a lot of talent, Ajit. I just hope that they become consistent. Yeah, there and thereabouts, they're doing well here and there, but the consistency is not there. Hopefully, they can come to the fore like Sri Lanka did in the 90s. Hopefully, I something of that sort happened with Bangladesh. If that happens and Afghanistan are actually decent set, then Asia Cup is going to be really, really competitive in the days to come.
I expect the Asia Cup to be very, very competitive in any case, because it's going to be played in home conditions for almost all the countries.
Home conditions.
Right.
The conditions remain the same. So, yeah, true.
That's going to be interesting. All right. One last news. This is related to Pakistan cricket, where there is some talk that, you know, political developments may put Zaka Ashraf's PB future under cloud. See, he was a political appointee when the new prime minister came into office.
Yeah.
So he was sort of the preferred candidate of the party PPP, that is Pakistan's People Party.
Yes, Pakistan People Party. Yeah.
Right. And he was sort of chosen ahead of somebody like, for me, Najam Sethi is a very good, very good appointee there. But he was also the appointee under the previous this one, because Najam Sethi is he's more close to the Shabazz and
family.
He's closer to the family of the prime minister, right? So that way,
yes, correct. Yeah.
Maybe Najam Sethi had stepped down, but now there are some, you know, there is a interprovincial coordination ministry, right? And they have sent a note to the prime minister that all these political appointees should be removed and they should have proper elections, right? I don't see this changing.
Democratic process.
Because currently there is a caretaker prime minister as well in Pakistan. And this is more heading towards politics. So, but all I want to say is probably many things will stay as a status quo rather than, you know, these small changes. Yeah. I don't see his position being changed, but let's see. Let's see how that goes.
Yeah. This administration, you talk about administration, Ajit. I think someone needs to write a book only on administration of PCB and BCCI. You'll get a lot of stories where they're poignant. You can even laugh at times the kind of things they do in administration. I recommend you to read War Minus the Shooting. I hope you've read Marcus's War Minus the Shooting.
Okay.
Actually, it's one of probably the best books ever I've read, cricket books I've read. Mark Marquesi was the author who covered the 1996 World Cup in the subcontinent.
Mm.
So that book was out of print for more than a decade or so. Then Siddharth Vaidyanathan from Cricinfo, who ex-Cricinfo employee, who from his 81 All Out publication, got it republished. I got it from podcast. I got it from the US. Actually, it was not available in India last year. One of my friends came from the US, so he got me that book.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a dedicated chapter only about the administration, about how the 96 World Cup was held, how Jagmohan Dalmia, Bindra and the PCB guys, you know, Honchos, got the World Cup to India, basically subcontinent, and how they held it, you know, vetoing England and Australia. That's what they did. They showed their might there.
Mm.
So they are notorious. They are known for wrong reasons, the Indians and the Pakistani administrators. But they've changed. The tectonic shift happened in the 90s only because of these kind of administrators. So you've got to be grateful to them. But at the same time, these things, you know, keep on happening in the BCCI and the PCB. You just can't help it because we don't have a proper democratic process, you know, going forward. Even in India, the same thing happened. Lodak stepped in and they appointed Sunil Gavaskar to take care of BCCI. Then Ramchandra Guha was appointed. So these kind of things, India and Pakistan have a lot of things in common, Ajit, as far as administration is concerned.
Right.
So it doesn't surprise me at all. Mm. Yeah.
What you say makes sense. That's very interesting how these things work. Yeah. Nonetheless, that's a very good book recommendation. Let me see if I can get my hands on that book as well. War Man is the Shooting.
Yeah, you can get it. I think it's available it's available all over the world now, I guess.
Perfect.
Amazon, it's available. You can suggest all our readers to, you know, pick that one. You just enjoy it. It's one of those, like, end-to-end. I think he's painted a picture of the subcontinent through his eyes. With cricket, I think a lot of political things also associated with that. The attacks and the security issues, the politics, the political parties, the leaders, the corruption, everything is there. So apart from cricket, you get to see the complete environment, what subcontinent is all about. Also Sri Lanka, and shouldn't really forget about Sri Lanka when you talk about this, the LTTE, Sri Lanka came to fore in the 90s. So it's one heck of a book, Ajit. I just hope that all our listeners pick that book.
Very nice, very nice. Yeah. That was a very nice chat where we even included a book review. So we hope our listeners benefit from the review you have given. It's at least made me very curious about what this book is all about. So let's hope more and more of our listeners are able to buy this book and, you know, read it, or, you know, maybe rent this book online somewhere and read it. But nonetheless, thanks for that. I would like to say thanks once again, Ramu. It's always a very nice chat with you. Today, you gave us two very nice things. One is an in-depth review of KPL this year, or Maharaja Cup this year, and a book review along with, you know, overview of all the games.
Thanks, Ajit. Pleasure. We'll be happy to come here again, probably next month, hopefully after the Asia Cup.
Yes.
Hopefully India would be the winners. I'm just hoping that India ends up winning this.
All right. Let me see if I can hold you to that.
Yeah.
Would you like to give another shout out of all your outlets in case somebody is listening to you for the first time on this podcast?
It's been a couple of months since I've written anything in depth or something. So I was busy, caught up with work. So I'll be writing on Sports Kid and Honolulu also, where I write my Kannada pieces. Off late, I've been writing more on tennis for Kannada. So cricket, like, it's taken a back seat a bit. Like, once Asia Cup starts, I'll be back to cricket. Also, domestic cricket will be starting in a couple of months. So one heck of a, you know, season coming up, like, with both cricket, also tennis, US Open is starting. So it's going to be very busy, I think, coming. So I will dedicate a lot of time writing. Mm. So
good to hear.
I'm just eagerly writing
Good to hear. It doesn't matter, right, that you are also writing about tennis. That should not be a problem as far as I'm concerned, because it's still, you're still indulging in, using your knowledge. It doesn't matter that you like one game and you are really knowledgeable about one, but you know enough about tennis, from our chat. Yes. So that's a good a good thing.
Yeah.
All right. So we wish all our listeners a good day wherever they may be listening from. We hope to have your company in this and all our upcoming episodes as well. If you've not listened to us, do give us a listen from our, you know, the catalog, where there are many other episodes. There are 200 plus episodes that you can listen to. Bye-bye.
This is the Armchair Cricket Podcast.